Yeah. You don't have Amazon. I got two. So, ha. Huh.
All right, man. I tell you what, you actually visibly bring that.
It's in the car.
Welcome to the All Man Podcast. We're having casual conversations through the lenses of three different perspectives.
We back.
I am the Tony Davis.
Michelangelo Brand.
And I'm Wayne. Hashtag all motherfucking man. Yo, how y'all doing, fellas?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank
man,
you.
Man, fuck y'all.
Hold on. Hey, hold on. Don't be jive, man. It's too close to Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, man. No, can't be no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, man.
Man, said, fuck no. Y'all. No, I'm playing.
It's really good to see you guys.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to be back, man.
Michelangelo's like, yeah, I guess.
Mike, man, he held it down, though, man.
He
Big
really
Mike.
Did.
Big Mike.
That nigga, but look, y'all niggas didn't say shit.
I was about to, and I was like, I'll just tell him on the joint.
I was like, well, yeah.
I was driving.
I said, well, I mean, it's up. We were consistent, at least.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's all I care. But I was like, yo, did you listen?
I did.
Okay.
Well, so we was consistent. At least I kept it going.
Yeah, I thought he was going to give us 15 minutes. My
yeah,
man
he gave us
down.
That 44.
I was trying.
The Hank Aaron.
You know what I mean?
The old brave nigga.
Sports.
I was trying.
I like sports and that's it.
I like sports and that's it.
Yo, I've been reflecting lately about just life. And I've been asking myself questions. One of them was, am I waiting to die? Like, are you just not doing anything or just working?
Right.
Are you enjoying your life? So I was thinking, like, what are some of the things that the fellas, as men, struggle with internally that you may want to open? Like, one of the things that I've been wanting to ask is that, and we talked about this a while ago, but I want to bring it back up. Around non-blacks, do you tone down your masculinity or your coolness or just your energy to make maybe a white person feel better?
It's impossible.
No, I'm not being conformative, but I'm aware of my audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Can you explain more?
Do you try not to overshadow?
That's tough for me because in some spaces I think people think that
you're Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican Wayne. How's you doing? You know?
If you do that, I think they
I think people sometimes make the assumption that I'm like this outgoing, bubbly guy all the time.
Right.
So sometimes there's an expectation.
Right.
And when I'm not, especially when I'm smoking. Like if you ever see me in a non-business capacity smoking,
right.
I'm probably the quietest person in the room.
I believe that.
Because to me, that's my time. That. It's funny because on the way over here, it gave me chills when you just asked that question. Because I was literally in the shower before I came here.
Right.
And was thinking like, what are we doing all this for?
Yeah.
What is all this for exactly?
Right.
And when you ask those questions to yourself, you're really not sure if you're supposed to be expecting an answer, whether right. it be something internally with you, or is it something you want to ask other people? Like, what's your expectation? Like, whose track are you on? You know?
Yeah.
But no, to your original question, I don't think I do, at least not consciously. Mm. And that's another thing that I have to be more aware of is that just because I don't think I do it doesn't mean I don't do it.
Right.
So, no, I don't think I do. It would surely depend on the circumstances, but no, I'm going to be my authentic self. I do. I'm going to recognize my audience in most case scenarios. I'm not going to really tone myself down, but you know, I'm going to be conscious of where I am and what I'm doing. What about you, Michelangelo?
So I was saying I can't in jest, but also in truth, like, you know, I work in a pub customer facing space.
Yes.
Being 6'4", being a person who wears hats, being a person, like, everything kind of positions itself for me to be out there before I say anything.
Sure.
So even when I'm coaching clients on that aspect, and my mentor last week was like, you know, listen, man, you're doing too much. And I was like, OG, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what you mean? And he was like, you've moved to a place where people understand that you understand style. You've projected that. It's conveyed. It's clearly conveyed over and over and over again. We need to start talking about taste, like a taste level, a higher level of taste. And so he was like challenging me to do certain things that resonated. Didn't feel good, but it resonated.
Yeah.
And so in that space, you know, do I turn that down? No. Do I need to refine the languaging, the nonverbal languaging? Yes. And then also even having the conversation like that we're having in general. I've had a very diversified conversation with clients who are conservative, liberal, trans, like whatever in that shop. And I'm thankful for it. I tell them, like, I tell a lot of people, the real reason I got that job or I took that job was not clothing related. It was conversational related. Like, and that'll lead me to your original question. We've had conversations like that. I don't tone down the content. I do tone down the dialect because there's conversations that me and you will have where I may use euphemisms or analogies that are just going to go over people's heads. They're going to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Not to mention, even in the shop, I've had people who are just like, listen, I don't want to be disrespectful. And you'd be like, no, okay, cool. You'd be like, so can I ask you a question? Yes. I'm curious to know where this is going.
Right.
But they'll hit me with the, you know, one guy who's actually running for office. Said, you know, listen, I just want to know, and I've been nervous to ask, like, you seem like a cool guy. Would it be okay if I asked you?
Sure.
He says, I just want to know, what's the difference between colored and people of color? And I remember, like, kind of laughing, like, you know, you want that 10% wants to get offended. Like, what the fuck you mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. And then 90% was like, that might kind of be a valid question.
Yeah.
From a totally different culture. Right?
Quick sidebar. Don't shame me, Tone. I was rewatching Gemini. The Gemini with Will Smith.
Okay.
And
just the first 30 minutes. So you
can... right. Maybe 40. Maybe 40.
Don't worry. Yeah, but it may be 40.
Yeah. But he says to one of his friends, his cohorts, he's telling his cohort about someone that he's closely affiliated with now by the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he tells his friend, hey, she's good. She just doesn't know what she doesn't know.
Right.
And that resonated with me so much. It's like we can have the roundabout conversation, the circle of thought about racism and what people think and their views on it. At the end of the day, people don't know what they don't know.
Right.
So even in that space, when you're having a conversation with someone who's curious and brave enough to have a clear and concise conversation about, hey, I just want to know.
Right.
It's like, okay, cool. It becomes our responsibility as people of color.
as a black man.
Right.
I'm a black man.
I'm black. to, you know, usher that person into a space where they feel comfortable enough to have those dialogues.
Right, and to have the conversation, that was my biggest thing, was listen, we're going to disagree. I disagree with the left and the right. I disagree with my trans friends or acquaintances because I really don't have any friends who happen to be trans, but like, and I don't want to disrespect a friendship by saying like that's what it is, but like we have acquaintances and we have those conversations, and that's what I told somebody probably about 2 weeks ago. Now, mind you, this is at my job. So the reality of it is, on the undertone of that, any person could come back and say he was having inappropriate conversations.
Yeah,
like that potentially could cost me my job on some real shit.
Sure.
Like if I think about it, I just don't think about it because I came in wanting to have the conversation. And interestingly enough, that's where I feel the most alive is when we're having debates, discourses, but also discussions. Like I have some older guys who come in. One of my older clients is in ministry, but he just has some sound, practical, universal advice, right? So we'll have conversations. And he's recently started letting me record what he says, because he'll just give me some game. I'll be like, man, hell yeah. Like, that just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Another older guy came in and was having a conversation with me about my health. Dude is 63. Probably could double what I bench. Super svelte. Well put together. Talked to me about nutrition. Talked to me about my health and how important it is to maintain health. And we started talking about relationships, and the game that he gave me was, you know, just briefly, like, for example, for a story that he was talking about, he was like, you need to vet these women that you're interacting with, because there's just so many things that may come with that. Long story short, he had a friend whose son is a lawyer, very successful, prominent in his city. Got with the young lady, well, actually was married to a lawyer. They got divorced, amicable. He then got with another young lady on the rebound. They had their fun, but she ended up pregnant.
Oops.
And she was
I don't
more
think that's
a,
quite the apt phrase to use.
Oops.
Fuck.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much
right?
it.
Fuck. So she was more of a free spirit. She already had a child. Should have been a conversation already, but she pulled her child out of school so that they could travel the country, not wealthily, like, not like, oh, we're in, you know, Airbnbs and we got a car. No, they like basically were hitchhiking type of situation.
Okay.
So he then is able to, like, now apparently she has some mental health concerns as well.
Shocking.
Right. So he moves her in, trying to make sure that his son, who he now is concerned about, is there. She goes, buys a knife, just off GP with his credit card, by the way, because she ain't got no money, and attempts to stab him.
He got stabbed with your own knife, nigga?
He defends himself, kills her in self-defense, is right now in jail awaiting trial.
Wow.
So not only is the young...
Can I use that? That sounds like one of my stories.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was, but it was a cautionary tale, like... And he was like, yeah, she was an attractive woman.
Of course she was an attractive woman.
Right. He said, but you didn't vet. He said, so, you know, listen. And, you know, you hear that ongoingly. Like, one, you're young.
Yeah.
You know, we think 40s is old. And until we talk to a 60-year-old, 65-year-old, and they like, bro, you still got a lot of life left.
Yeah.
If you take care of yourself.
Right, right.
You know, Biz Markie, shout outs and RIP to Biz Markie, 52, who died, but was 54.
No, he was 56.
It doesn't matter.
But he was in his
50s. He was young.
Right. And so he was like, one, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
He said, two, you need to vet these young ladies. He said, don't be in a rush. Like, so that's when I feel most alive. My concern recently has been, are you an active pursuit? You know, my issue hasn't been, are you just existing? My issue is, you know, you're just existing. Partly because you know what fills you and what drives you and what you would do for free, because you do it for free. You'll miss money having a two-hour conversation where you're either educating or where you're dialoguing with somebody else.
So does that – is it safe to make the statement, well, you really don't care about money? Because if – you see where I'm going with that?
No, I want you to – yeah, I want you to
If you'll do it for free,
you're still that,
and you're not really like actively trying to make this your life, you really don't care about your lifestyle as much as, you know, some people may. Oh, I gotta be rich. You know, right. I gotta have this. Really, it's not that important to you if you're not actively pursuing it.
It's even levels to that though, Tone. I mean, like, my rich may not be someone else's rich.
Right, and we've had that conversation too. You know that. For me, it's more about.
Oh, I missed that.
It's about creating the legacy. So I don't care if if I'm being honest, I wouldn't care if I died poor, quote unquote, right? and it's Basquiat type situation.
Okay.
Listen, everything that I'm writing, I got two sons here. He's getting half, he's getting half, and that shit blows the fuck up after I pass. And they are multimillionaires because of what I set up for them.
Sure.
I'm cool with that. I told you guys, clothes, I want to be able to dress nice. I want to be able to eat well. I want a nice home. I want to be able to travel on somebody else's dime. And I want a millionaire network. Like, how I viewed that, the universe has been saying, like, all right, cool. Nice, having a nice home does not mean a big home. Mm-hmm. Like, I know plenty of people who have, you walk into the house and you like, this the shit.
Yeah.
Over in the West End, there's a strip of houses that are nice. They're nice, but they're $300,000 homes. But you walk into that bitch, you be like, oh, okay. And it's got gazebos in the back. They got a huge backyard. Shit is fucking dope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't crave a super nice vehicle. I don't care how much money I get. I'm probably going to go back to this LS. The more I drive that car, the more I'm like, yo, I do a GS and LS. I'm cool with the 2004 to 2000. Nah, it might be 2004. They'd be right, like, look, right. We can't have you on the road with those. Sorry, sir. That's it's no longer conducive for road condition.
There's no hover capabilities here, sir.
So, but outside of that, it hasn't been like I need heavy amounts of cash, you know, with the clothing. Mm-hmm. There's access to that. But what I do want is if family has medical needs, if my younger successors, even if I don't have children, whether it's my nieces, nephews, are set up for a better situation. Listen, I want you in business camps. I want you in. So I'm not paying for school yet. It's not something we're looking at yet. But you're 10 years old, and she is proficient at problem solving. They have engineering camps for kids. I want to be able to say, yo, she's gone for 6 weeks. Well, what's she going to do? She's going to learn about engineering. She may hate it and come back and say, I don't want to do this. Cool. I just wanted you to test it out. What do you like? I like marine biology. Where did you learn about marine biology? At engineering camp. Shout outs to engineering camp. Guess we're going to marine biology camp next year.
Yeah.
Shout outs to you.
So, question to you, Wayne. And you can answer also, Michael Andrew.
I ain't got kids.
It's about wife.
Oh, okay.
Wife.
Could you be on a reality show to bring your business more funds? Like, how much would you do for money? You know,
because
I was watching a reality show, right? And I couldn't get through it. I can't spend more than 5 minutes watching it.
Right.
And it was a conversation that came about. It was like, hey, I could never allow my girl to do this.
Yeah.
And the reason being is like, yo, it's too embarrassing. But the response was, hey, but it could boost your business sales. You know, like if you have a store. And you're trying. I was like, huh, that's a good point. I still couldn't do it. And does it matter? Because you're not really caring about what other people think.
Correct. So, and that's literally why I was thinking while you were finishing up that latter part of the question is that if you know what the motive is, you know what your end goal is, then it shouldn't really matter. But it's everything else that comes with that that seems to be problematic in the long run. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to deal with that. Even going back to the original question, it's like I'm at a point in life now where my view, I'm trying to make my view as panoramic as possible.
Okay.
Like I'm trying to have my foresight, my wisdom, everything on high so that way I'm more in tune with the things that I need to be doing for me.
Okay.
Not so much because for the longest time I'm predicated on family. Mm-hmm. Like what do I need to do for my family to make sure? But the more and more that I have conversations with you gentlemen and like-minded people and experiences dictate certain situations, it makes me think like, if you don't have a clear and concise path for yourself, how are you able to lead appropriately? Not good, but appropriately, like at the bare minimum base.
Right.
Like, what does this look like for you? And then how are you relaying that information to people?
Right.
That's always bothered me when I hear, even now when you say it, you reference what your purpose was as far as at any given time. Most of it's been for your family. And I'm like, hey, I don't feel the way he does.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me feel lesser than.
No.
Because I look at it as an honorable thing.
Also, and you also can't say no because that's his.
Well, no, it's a perspective.
Right, and it's his.
And I'm not saying no. I'm not saying fumble Ruski.
Hey, don't forget we're recording at 404 Smoke Shop, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, I was
Camp Creek location.
Yeah.
Right
next to the Blue Cantina. Yeah. So
black owned.
I said no because also what I'm coming to the realization of is that people's mind state are simply their mode of process.
Right, right.
It's like saying this is gonna be I'm back to analogies. It's like saying, hey, I have a Mac.
We missed those two.
Yeah. Oh, great. I have a Mac. And you're like, well, I like Windows products.
I don't know why.
They
function better?
Right. I'm
inadvertently.
I'm still an elitist over
you
here.
You can use both of those softwares, hardwares,
right,
in the same capacity in such a way where you can get to where you need to get to, but the processing is different only because we use this. You use this.
Right.
So when people are like.
And the applications are potentially going
to
be different.
Of course. Not to get too technical.
No. Because I want you to. It's going to apply to what you're actually saying. Yes.
Yeah. So even when you said that, you were like, it made me. Feeling is not fact.
Right. Facts ain't feelings.
But they can lead to facts.
They can.
Ooh.
They can.
Evolution.
The evolution of your process.
Right.
So now.
In the applications.
So now, again.
Take a drink.
We have an Apple product and a Windows product. Well, the new software just dropped.
Right.
But again.
Take a drink.
You say, I'm cool with the software I got. I'm not trying to do an upload. I'm not trying to switch it out.
Right.
But these are things that are fundamentally happening, whether you like it or not.
Right.
You have to be able to contour your mode of thinking, the way you process things, in order to evolve, not only as a person, but as a human being.
And it goes back to what you were saying as far as you won't be able to lead properly if you don't know what you want.
Idealistically, yes.
No, I agree with that because I got pulled away from a lot of things over the last 6 months, just life changing.
Yeah.
And interacting with my kids has been different. Mm. Interacting, you know, going back to work and just personally, and the way that I function now is different. Like before, for example, I would say when you get thrown into something and you have the mind to go get whatever it is,
right,
bad or good,
right,
your mind changes, you'll change.
Right.
You can count on me not being at work on time. Like you'd be like, oh yeah, your hours are from 8 to 5.
Right.
I show up at 8:35.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, it's not that serious. But when I put into my mind that something's that serious,
exactly,
I'm at work, but crack ass early. I'm like, normally I'd be rolling over in bed right now.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So then I got to a thought that I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't care. I just don't want to care. So I don't.
Okay.
So me being around, you know, I don't want to battle. And I think maybe other men out there going through things with, especially with custody battles and things of that nature with their children,
right,
it takes a lot of energy.
Oh,
we're not even getting to money.
I can only imagine.
It takes a lot of energy. I'll speak for myself. It takes a lot of energy to try to battle with the mother or the other, you know.
The other party.
And then now your kids are growing up and they don't want to hang out with dad because they only spend, it's a weird lifestyle to be jumping in and out of different rules.
And they're already connected because I will speak to that. Coming from a single, quote unquote, and it wasn't a single parent home, so I'm not even going to say that. Coming from a home where I was raised primarily with my mother because I still had family. And I hate when people say, oh, I'm in a single parent home. I'm like, you got the biggest support system.
Yeah,
and
but
that's,
it's still a single parent home.
Yes, my thing with that is, and the reason why I take issue with it is because the support system, I've seen single parents. Like, yo, I'm out here doing this literally by myself. like, I have a friend right now. She just found out she tore her ACL and that she's having an issue with her meniscus, right? She was in a space. Now she needs to move back home where her support system is because she literally wouldn't be able to, like, get up and cook
right.
mm-hmm. for her daughter. Like, right? Single. Versus I've had people like, no, my mom, I still live with my mom and my dad. Like, there's a male influence here for my daughter, for my son.
Right.
There's
it's a core there.
There's a community there, which is beautiful. I don't look at it like, oh, you're not. I'm just like, yo, but don't discount your community. Like, but you are a person who's in that single space. And I will say, when you're with your mom, there's that other naturally unnatural connection, right? So when I'm young, I get to hang on my mom. I get to be around my mom. Like, and she's not going to create separation because she enjoys the nurturing component.
Right.
Like, I slept.
It's nature.
Yes. I'll give you an example. I slept with my mom in my mom's bed till I was like eight and a half, nine. Then she finally was like, yo, we need to create some, like, you're getting too old to be sleeping in the bed, like, yeah. with me, right? That went from, and I cried. Because I was so used
right.
to that connection that then we moved from there to me sleeping on the floor beside the bed to then finally me moving into a room. Now, in retrospect, I was like, a nigga should have been in his bed by 2, 3. Like, but it created a dependency even though I was already, like, very removed. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be tight with my, like, long term, probably around 12. I was like, I'm not staying here in my city. Like, I'm out. Like,
at 12, huh?
I just knew I wanted, like, and it's my mom's fault, like, in the best way possible. It's my mom's fault, like, by exposing me to things.
Yeah.
Like, read this book. I want you to read 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Tale of Two Cities, Three Musketeers. Like, to create this world that you see D'Artagnan. Going on this epic adventure, trying to find his peers, yeah. and that takes him to different cities. You're going into the depths of the sea, like all these things, and I needed that separation. And a dad or a father, or even when my uncle moved into the house, started creating separation, like, hey, we spent this money on this on these bunk beds
yeah.
or on this bed.
Hey,
you need to go sleep in your room.
Yeah, I don't know what you thought this was. This ain't no damn hostel.
Right.
But I think the essence energy that most people, when it's removed, most people, something happens. And I don't think any studies have been spoken about right. or even known for right. the masses yeah. of why a male's energy, a masculine energy,
right.
I don't want to just say a male's, but a masculine energy scares shit. Like, it just scares people.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're in with other men.
I think
that's why the term alpha... is there, and that's what kind of what I started off with, because when I got into my job, I was moving, and just the energy of the guy I'm with. Now, you know, he's not a, I don't think he's a pussy, but
right.
like the way that he moves and even speaks, you know, softer, and I'm like, am I scaring this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think with masculine energy, there's always a power dynamic. We talked about information, knowledge, wisdom, from my perspective, you know, conscious presence. If I don't have any information, then I need somebody to garner the information from. So I need somebody to teach me. Usually, that's first going to happen from our fathers or from our elder leadership.
Sure.
And then we're going to learn from other people in our peer group.
I think it's some comfort, though.
No, you're right. No, you're right. I'm just saying, if I'm with, like, if we're all together, right, and some shit pop off, we've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody takes action. Somebody else doesn't. Well, now, if something else pops off, I'm probably going to look to that person who took action the first time because I have information now. Yo, some shit pop off. The information is he's going to react.
Yeah.
Good, right, wrong, or indifferent, right? He's going to react. So I've learned something. There's a comfort even in that, right? Because if conflict happens, if confrontation happens, I know that there's somebody who I can garner energy from, even like I'm gonna be more confident because he did something. I'm gonna jump in too. It's that kind of that mob mentality.
But I also think there's a correlation with masculinity and dominance.
Right. Yeah.
So in a lot of spaces, to Tony's point, even if you don't feel like you're a dominant entity,
right?
If you're being masculine or moving in your true masculine way, people are they're just going to perceive it that way. I mean, you've walked into a place, and we've talked about situations with both of you all.
Right.
It may be a majority of women in one particular spot. You walk in, your stature, you're dressed nice,
right.
you smell good, you look good.
Right.
It's an automatic attention grabber because it's like, who's that person?
Yeah, right.
Right? So eyes are drawn to that, the energy, to that prominence, that dominance,
right.
That masculine energy.
Right.
So it's really a double-edged sword in a lot of cases because that's where hate stems. Because the people who are also observing that energy in a positive way, they're people from a negative perspective who are saying, why are they giving attention to that person?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So now that garners a different type of attention. And people are now like, what's going on with this?
Right.
Like, I don't understand why I didn't garner that, you know, reaction when I walked in.
Right.
So they become, you know, egotistical. They become jealous. They become resentful. For what?
Well, because they don't have the information.
Right. They're not even in a place to receive the information.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know. So it comes back full circle where you're saying, like, hey, I know I'm not going to dominate here. Like, it's so funny. Like, I talked to this kid, this younger person.
Yeah.
And he was just like, man, I'm just not good at sports. And he's like, and I'm not going to ever be like that guy. And I said, you're not going to be that guy in sports. But okay, what does that matter? And he was like, well, you know, I'm not going to be popular and I'm not going to be. And I said, here's the thing. You may not be popular in the masses. And since he could understand this, I talked to him about like Drake. Like I said, Drake is a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
Like globally known, internationally respected, right?
Sure.
Like everybody's not going to be that. Then there is going to be a kid who's like, who's a new rapper? I don't listen to the
Lil Baby.
You got Lil Baby, right?
Yeah.
Who is not necessarily even nationally known outside.
We probably
of,
shouldn't have used him. He is the one.
No. What I'm saying that, like, if I was to ask white people, like a white middle-aged woman, do you know the baby?
Okay.
They'd be like, no, I don't have any babies. Like, what are you, right? Like, but if I said, do you know Drake is, they'd be like, heck yeah. Drizzy? I know Drizzy. Like,
he's from Canada. The guy from Canada, right?
So there's difference. But the baby's a superstar.
Yeah.
And within a certain segment. So I tell the same thing to kids. You may not dominate everywhere. Drake doesn't dominate in basketball, but he has affiliates or whatever. But because he's dominant in that space, there's connectivity. This is the age of information and information sharing. So those same nerds who may not dominate in physical spaces are going to be dominant in these new spaces. And here's an interesting play that we're starting to see now. Superstars in gaming. Dude is fucking 5'3", couldn't jump 10 inches.
Yeah.
But is a superstar because he can play this video game extremely well.
Yeah.
And those are going to be new superstars.
His Twitch has like 4 million followers.
I didn't know what the fuck. I couldn't even tell you what Twitch was a year ago. Like, who the fuck is, that? Oh, it's a gaming platform for that. And they're superstars. So the dominance also is in that space where I think that we keep on. I think that. An interesting thing is happening in society. We are having to be nuanced while still remaining still remaining like very boxed in. Like, we'll talk about masculinity and there is a meta element of what masculine energy looks like, and then we forget that there's going to be nuance in those spaces.
I mean, yeah.
Because if I'm talking to a kid, if you ever read, like, I think it was in 48 Laws of Power, or it was either 48 Laws of Power or Art of Seduction with Robert Greene, one of the things that he talks about is Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer was an awkward kid, like, but he was going against this Russian in competition.
Sure.
Leadership, dominance, right? And he started doing all these things that were confusing this Russian kid, and he became more aggressive. Just in, you could hear it like coming off the page.
Yeah.
How much more competitive and aggressive he was becoming, and dominant he was becoming, based on the competency that he was starting to achieve with the other person. And so I think the same thing is true. You may not be physically competent, you know, and coordinated on a field or on a court, and you may be extremely competent in the math class.
Yeah.
And that changes leadership, because that jock who can dunk a basketball, if you can step into that truth, it's going to be, hey, man, can you help me with, because I don't understand that.
Even here, though, we, as men,
right,
it's hard for us to do that, to ask for, extend ourselves in that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And say, hey, can you assist me?
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's a variation of a couple of different elements, but first and foremost is pride. Pride, it's a culmination of pride and ego.
Okay.
And then what happens is you know what you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And fear.
Okay.
Fear of exposing yourself to someone that may contradict who you think you are.
Right.
And I'll repeat that. Exposing yourself to someone to contradict who you think you are.
Yeah, but right. I think if you had that guidance or that support system from a community of men in different areas, like you were saying, and I agree with what both of you are saying, it becomes a little bit more comfortable.
And a community.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so if I'm teaching my sons, hey, don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid to ask a question. If you don't know, that's like one of the best positions to be in. You don't have to worry about somebody calling you out.
Sure. Right?
Like if another mathematician doesn't know something that, you know, one does, now you're a little bit on edge, because it's like, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot.
Right.
But if you don't know anything and you're just looking for some direction, it's okay to not know everything.
Sure.
And so I think that my thought on that is that because too many men are not being
unified.
Raised by other men, you know, community with other men, just being okay and comfortable, that's where that discomfort and that fear comes in,
right,
and that pride steps in, and no one ever, we have things that happen naturally for us when we come of age at different age, you know, or different experiences. I don't want to say age, but, you know, hey, you start getting hair on your face, or you start having more, you know, you start to fill out, you know, you fill your shirts out. So now we think we got to be tough. You know, it's just like, yeah, that's not how things generally work in the world.
I'm not trying to be well done with my emotions.
Well, it also and it also comes with, like, the competency, right?
Yeah.
It's when I took martial arts, it was
karate man.
I'm a karate man. I bleed on the inside.
On the inside.
quarter blood technique.
I forgot, you know, Dave Chappelle did that same. He was like,
just
that's where all the blood comes out. But I think it's the competency. Like when I was even in martial arts very young, they were like, listen, this is self defense, but your greatest self defense is running. Like, they were like, we're not telling you to fight outright.
Yeah.
They were like, why put yourself in a dangerous predicament when you could run from it? Now,
that's how I feel about a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, the gun has to be the last thing I do. Right. Yeah. Like, yes, it's easier to pull. I may even be nice.
Right.
But it should be the last thing that I pull out.
Right.
And then go for.
Right. Because it's like, you know, even when you used to watch, like, if I used to watch, like, Bruce Lee movies or something, like, Bruce Lee would run. But, and part of it would be, like, initially you would think, like, oh, like, he's just trying to get away. And then it would be like, nah, sometimes it's a strategic positioning.
Sure.
Yeah. I need more open space. I need to be able to move. And they were saying that as I got older, before I kind of left martial arts, they were like, listen, this is also about strategy. If you can get to a public place, the likelihood of violence is going to be less, unless you're in juice or something. You want to shoot me in the elevator?
You're right. nigga rolls that thing.
Like, God damn. This nigga is crazy.
I shoot everybody in this bitch.
Right. So, you know, there's that, and I think that that's the competency of it, though. Competency, in my opinion, breeds confidence.
Yes.
So when I'm competent in what I'm talking about, and I can talk to you about math.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna talk a little bit of shit if I know, like, yeah. I'm a freshman, but I'm already doing college level trigonometry.
Right.
He tried to use the coefficients. I can't believe him, right?
Jeez. Look at your tan.
Like, right.
Come on.
Right. Look at your graph. Like, that's terrible, right?
What
so,
is this?
Right, right. What did you do there? So it is. It's the community. If I have a community of competency in different areas, and I don't know what I don't know in certain spaces, right? So I have somebody talking to me about coding. I have another person talking to me about crypto. I have another person talking to me about investment. I have another person talking to me about life.
Yeah.
And there are masters of life. Like, where you like, how the fuck? Those are the people I always say are like, those are the cool people. Like, I only know 4 or 5 really, truly cool people. I'm going to be cool under pressure.
Yeah.
And I may be afraid. I'm not exposing that, right?
Yeah.
I'm cool in social situations because I'm cool with myself. And that's when I'm asking you, like, yo, how did you get comfortable with yourself? Like, I'm comfortable, but I want to elevate.
Yeah.
When it comes to relationships, there's people who've been married 40, 50 years, stood the test of times. And there's people now who are going to be, there's people who've been married 30 years, right?
Yeah.
30 years puts us in the 90s. They can start talking to us like, yo, how did you navigate through, like, social media?
Right.
Like, that's going to be a new conversation of wisdom because there's a different level of technology. And somebody said this, and I'm going to let you guys go. Like, one of the interesting things that happened, they were like, don't think. Because I was talking about, I was like, man, y'all don't even understand, like, this whole social media. They was like, that's true, but don't think niggas wasn't dealing with shit in their within their own time period.
Yeah, it just looked different.
It looked different. Like, he was like, he got married in the early 90s. He said, or in mid-90s. He said cell phones were big then. He said that totally changed the social dynamic.
Yeah.
I didn't have to wait to call somebody when I got home. Which changed, like, how we could date, how we could move, how I could get information.
Yeah.
And he was like, just think earlier before that, in the 30s and 40s, cars were not prevalent. Mm-hmm. The 50s, production was at an all-time high. America was flourishing.
Yeah.
He said, so teenagers could have cars.
Mm-hmm.
Changed the social dynamic. He said, so don't think just because we're in this new age of information that we ain't been around that block as well.
Sure. Especially when you had to make the most of your time. So
right.
Going to a club in the 80s and 90s,
right.
You had a little bit more ease
right.
with the word yes.
Right.
Now you can go out like, they'll say no.
Right.
You no. know, for what?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you taking me?
Right. Like, right. For what? But yeah, before we jump off, I want to lead into the after show question about what it is that you would be open to telling your partner, even if it's not like relevant.
That's funny. I had a very brief conversation on the way out the door.
Oh, well, we can take it on the after show. That's what people
yeah,
get
we
for
will.
Not watching the after show. But anyway, you can finish up.
Oh, no. What I was going to just, I mean, I'm glad to see you guys. Happy to be back. Extremely happy that everybody, you know, kept up with us, reached out to us. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
that's always something that's empowering. And, you know, it's even if it's just a few people, one or two people, it's still very humbling in the sense that right. people still want to know what you're doing and how you're doing
right.
when they miss you.
Right.
So, but even in that circumstance, and this is going to be it. When you're talking about that fight or flight, we're talking about one of the essential things to learning self-defense in a sense
right.
is running is your first choice.
Right.
I think that very much so applies to how we communicate with the people that we know and we love, is that we automatically set up defense when we feel or hear something that is off-putting to us.
Okay. Mm.
So instead of saying, I'm just going to keep running
right
until I can find a clearing where we can have a decent exchange,
right,
you stop in your tracks and try to address it right then. Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
Right.
What the fuck are you trying to say by that?
Right.
What did you mean by that? Versus just saying, let me just keep going.
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. I don't get the point of not being able to say, I'm uncomfortable with this conversation. If you have a little bit of patience, we can walk it, you know, we can talk about it.
Right.
And I can talk about why I'm uncomfortable.
That's surgery right there, my friend.
We can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Because like Wayne was saying, hey, I'm uncomfortable. Now I'm going to meet you with aggression.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we forget is the core of that aggression is discomfort. And not necessarily even discomfort or fear, because it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And if I've been quote unquote fighting all my life, that's my practice. That's my wheelhouse. That's in my toolbox. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to create conflict, because conflict does not necessarily mean resolution.
Mm-mm.
That's why we have to have conflict.
It's a distraction.
Resolution. Mm. It can be a distraction. And that person may, the other person may just shut down because it's fight, flight, or freeze. So the other person may just freeze. Oh, okay, I'm going to stop. Let me stop.
Yeah.
Because that masculinity, which is in males and females, can project itself, and then that aggression can then cause the other person to be like, on a male side with a woman,
sure,
I don't want to deal with this. Like, right, I'm not right dealing with this. So it is, to Wayne's point, it's us running together to a clearing space. To Tone's point, hey, I'm uncomfortable. First and foremost, let me speak that I'm uncomfortable with the tonality or the energy that was being projected. And I didn't feel like I did anything, or there was nothing that I could correlate that brought about this exchange.
Discourse or, mm-hmm, yeah.
So that person can then say, babe, I'm sorry. Or fam, I'm sorry. I was having a bad day.
Yeah.
You ran into that traffic. Like, so even though we've been needing to talk about this, even though I knew that when it came about, it was bad timing. I apologize, or I don't apologize. I mean, sometimes it's just like, this is just what it was. I'm not apologizing for how I felt.
Sure, right? Sure.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to let you, because then Tone can then come back and say, oh, okay, cool. Listen, go relax real quick, because I don't want to add extra stress
that's
to
that's what
this
you hope for. And that's why, right, I said, when Tony made that extremely valid point,
right,
I said, that's surgery, my friend.
Right. Yeah.
It's very precise.
Right.
But
yeah.
There's no,
we don't need
fiddling
no
about,
right,
what are you doing with those scissors?
Right. Wait. We don't need scissors. We need the scalpel here.
Where do you get that knife from?
Right. Right. Put it down.
See what you did there.
Did you get that knife on my card? I saw it.
Right. I saw the charge. What was you in the academy for?
So was it a chef's knife?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that just said butcher.
Yo, this has been an All Man podcast. Thank you for joining us. We are back. We will be back, and hopefully we'll iron out our shit and get moving on whatever success is with this show. That's what I would want for us to do. I am Tony Davis.
Michael Andrew DeBrand.
And I'm Wayne. I feel like Muhammad Ali, but I'm not. And Jesus I'm Christ. On the All Man podcast. We'll see y'all later.
We out.
Yep.